Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, May 5th, also known as Cinco de Mayo, and we'll talk about that in a second. For those of you who haven't listened earlier this week, Kelsey had to leave the show on short notice because of family issues and health and things like that. So we wish her all the best. I'm still playing the intro with her, but we're going to have a new co-host soon. We're still looking and auditioning and stuff, so it'll be cool. At any rate, I'm joined by the beautiful Sarah Chapman. Welcome to the show, Sarah.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me, Sam.
Of course. And Sarah and I have known each other for a while. She's a co-host on what show?
Modern Male Radio. I've been co-hosting the past year, but now, of course, Jared is co-host or has Leah Pelka as his co-host.
Okay.
So it's been a nice transition there, too. It seems like things are moving around in the station, but for the better, for good changes.
Yeah, but you were still here last week. That
you
was
know,
fun.
Sometimes I just this you keep pulling me back in.
Yeah,
you know what it is with you guys.
So yeah, you guys should definitely check out Modern Male Radio. That's on tonight on the video channel, channel 8. At 8 Pacific Standard Time. And that's a pretty interesting show and stuff, right?
It's a lot of fun. It's a very interesting show. I had a lot of fun this past year. In fact, every day for me on that show was like Cinco de Drinko.
Really?
So I'm actually surprised.
True. You guys drink a lot.
When I started, well, not anymore, but when I started, it was just after this past, you know, Cinco de Mayo. I think it was whatever,
the
end of last May.
Whoa.
So I didn't even get to actually officially celebrate, you know, with an excuse. It was more like, oh, hey, it's whatever day it is and I'm having
right,
some beer.
Exactly.
Good
so
time,
today,
though.
I would imagine you're going to celebrate today, right?
I am. Tonight, actually, I'm going to go out with a couple girls that you met, actually, on one of the shows that we did
last
year.
Oh, wow. Very cool. So where are you guys going? Do you have it planned already?
Well, if I tell everybody, Sam, then everyone's going to come
That's
stop
true,
us.
That's true, right?
You know how much I don't like that.
Okay, so tomorrow we'll ask you where you were.
Somewhere in Hollywood.
That's
may
true,
may
yeah. You
see,
you have to think about these things. I don't think about it because nobody ever stalks me. But, you know, maybe next time around when
it's
I'm reborn as a woman. Is
real
a hot
issue, Sam. Sometimes I'll go places and everybody checks in. I mean, social media is so that
right.
way. So now I've figured out how to get around that. If I'm at Target, I'm not at the Target I say I'm at.
Really?
I'm at three other Targets. You can just go around LA and you won't see me.
Right.
You will not.
No, but why do you have to report that you're at Target?
Well, you have to stay relevant. I mean, people have to know what I'm eating for breakfast.
So people
sometimes.
Need to know, right?
They do. And
wow.
if you skip a meal, so to speak, on social media, people are like, what's wrong?
They will let you know, huh?
Oh, they will hit you up in your inbox with 100 messages. So I just try to avoid that altogether. And even though I don't want people to know what I'm eating for breakfast, they're going to know. Because I don't want to deal with it, you know.
So you like concerns. Keep feeding them pictures on Instagram and things like that to keep everybody happy.
Every day.
There you go. You see, and that's the way to build the followership. So if you guys want to know how you get a lot of followers, first you gotta be born a hot chick. That's without saying.
No, Sam, you just have to post your cereal. And maybe your breasts.
But if I post my cereal, nobody's going to care.
Okay, well, you have to be in your
right.
underwear posting your cereal.
Right. Even in my underwear,
trend.
Nobody's going to care, you know. It might go viral. Yeah, look at the owner of LA Talk Radio in his underwear.
Hey, now.
But other than that, you know, I don't think it's – nobody's going to stalk me. So, yeah, I mean, but everybody has to deal with whatever they have in life, and that's it. I'm sure many – many doors open for you, but at the same time, there's probably like a lot of obstacles too, right?
Oh, absolutely. It goes with the territory. I mean, you really have to pick and choose, and you have to have a strong filter.
Right.
You know, no pun intended, but it's true. You have to have a real-life filter,
no,
Instagram
that's true.
Filter, every filter.
Because you probably, everywhere you go, you get like hit on and stuff, right?
Yeah, it's something like that.
Yeah.
There's attention. And it's not just from guys, though.
Really?
I had a woman, actually, last show that you mentioned that I was here for. We went out to eat after. Someone would stop me in line, and she said, you know, I just want to let you know that there was no lifeguard in the gene pool that you or something about the gene pool. It was some weird comment she made to me that the lifeguard wasn't on duty that day because you got the amazing part of the pool or something. And I looked at her and I was like, what was that a compliment?
Yeah, there was a pickup line,
it was
right?
Some sort of a pickup line. I wasn't sure where she was going with it, and I probably just botched that. But whatever she said, it was absolutely like,
oh god,
you're amazing. And I was like, okay, you're weird, but
wow,
go eat my burger
funny.
Now.
Yeah, that's funny. But yeah, I mean, I just figured that you know, in many ways, you know, when you look good, you're like a celebrity because you do get the attention everywhere you go, right? I mean, people like, it's like, I can't imagine like I mean, sometimes I think it's probably like a pain in the ass because you just want to like...
Well, you better look like your pictures.
Right.
And if you're not posting videos and you're only posting pictures, then there's a reason for that. And it's called Photoshop. And there's much controversy right now actually going on about that. Some of these fitness companies are dealing with some huge problems with people just over-photoshopping things.
Really?
Over-photoshopping themselves and then also the clients that they've brought on for challenges.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, it's just not the people. So,
really?
Not the muscle groups. They don't exist even.
Wow.
But that's
interesting.
That's what our technology is allowing us to do now.
Yeah, that's true.
Completely change how we look.
Yeah.
How people see us. And then we have to really wear extra clothes if we've done that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Wow. In a few minutes, we're going to get to our guest. We have a very special guest. It's going to be an interesting show. So I'm glad you're here today. You're going to enjoy yourself.
Thanks, I am, because especially all the stuff I just talked about, she is actually going to dispel a lot of that from what she does.
Yeah, I guess so.
No, she will. Yep.
So we'll see. But in the meantime, our elevator is still out, and people have to walk up the stairs. We're on the fourth floor, and it's not fun. People are complaining. Everybody comes out here. I feel like my legs are rubbery by the time I get up here. But you know what? I do it like 10 times a day because I have to. I have to come up and down.
Right. Why do you think I dress like I'm going to a hip-hop class?
Yeah,
today?
Right? You
not
remembered,
that people can
right?
see me, but I look like I'm on my way to hip-hop class.
Yeah, you remembered. That's good.
Yes,
yeah. But
some people,
I mean, I'm amazed at how some people actually braved it and came up the stairs, people with canes and an older person and stuff. So, you know, I guess when you want to come on the radio show, you know, nothing's going to stop you, you know.
That's right.
Yeah, so that's cool.
Sam, I'm going to huff and puff up these stairs any day you want me.
Okay, sounds good. Sounds good.
Come high heels or Adidas. That's the truth.
Yeah, well, hopefully next weekend it'll be over with and we'll have a nice new elevator. So, yeah. I mean, I kicked and screamed, but nothing helped. You know? I wanted to move out when I found out about this.
Sometimes tantrums work and sometimes they just don't.
Exactly.
You know?
When you tie to a lease, the landlord can do whatever they want and there's nothing you can do about it. You know, but I figured, you know, look, if they didn't really need to do it, they wouldn't be doing it. It's an expensive ordeal, you know? Probably like maybe $1 million or something to replace an elevator. I don't know.
Right. You can't really go fast food on that order.
Exactly. Right.
You need to have all your ducks in a row. Otherwise, I have a thing about elevators anyway, so
yeah.
I'm probably still going to take the stairs when the thing sticks. No offense to the construction.
No, some people are like that, you know? I mean,
well, once you get stuck in an elevator once, knock on
right.
wood.
Well, I got stuck in an elevator downtown on the 30th floor or something.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
But that was like a new building. We had our studio downtown on the 36th floor. One night I came down, it got stuck. But, you know, it's an advanced building, so they could talk to me. I could talk to them. And they're taking the sweet old time. I said, you guys, if you don't get me out of here soon, I'm going to call the fire department. So sure enough, you know, 5-10 minutes passed. I was just sitting there on my computer and stuff, you know.
Just kicking it in the elevator.
Yeah.
I've got work to do. At least
I mean, there was no social networks. That was 2008.
Oh.
So you're talking 8 years ago, right?
Yeah, that's like prehistoric.
There was no iPhones or anything either, you know. I mean, I was like, you know, who are you going to call and all this? So I called the fire department. Finally, they got the elevator down, and the fire department was already there, and they got me down. And so the problem was I was stuck in what they called the express zone. If you ever see like easy when you go on an elevator,
mm-hmm.
that's express zone. It means it doesn't stop there. So there's no doors.
What is this, like
floor.
The toll roads of elevators?
Yeah. Well, the thing is this. Look, in tall buildings, some elevators only take you to the 20th floor and up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the first 20 floors, there's no doors. You can't get out on any floor.
Yeah, I'm so glad I don't have to deal with that.
Right?
I just don't like elevators. I will stop. Even when I go to my doctor, he's on the sixth floor. I still take the stairs.
Really?
I take all six flights.
Do you have claustrophobia?
It's good exercise.
Yeah,
I swear I just don't. Yeah, kind of something like that.
Yeah.
I like my freedom.
Yeah, no. And I mean, look, being scared of an elevator is pretty normal. I mean, a lot
it
of people
is. Plus,
are
I like exercise. So
yeah, what the hell?
I don't need to make it into a phobia. I just like my cardio and my Stairmaster.
So do you work out a lot? Like what, every day or something?
Are you hitting on me now, Sam?
Yeah. What does that have to do? How can that be hitting on you?
Oh, I'm just
if
kidding.
I was hitting
I'm
on you, you'd know.
I'm just messing with you.
No, no.
He's like, do you come
good.
Here often? Do you
oh, okay. Is that what it is? Okay.
I love giving him stuff for the list now. I do. I work out a lot, quite a bit.
Yeah?
Yeah, especially
that's
now
cool.
that I'm not regularly co-hosting that other show where a little bit sedated sometimes, but no, I enjoy working out.
That's good. I'm glad you do. You see, that's the thing. People that enjoy it are very fortunate because you get to do it and enjoy it. Many people do not enjoy it. I hate the gym and I don't go, you know, and thus I'm not in the shape that I should be in, you know.
Plus, I'm post jaw surgery very recently for a bone infection thing. So we'll have to talk to our guest about where the genealogy of this thing came from because I had no idea.
Wow.
Speaking of, are we getting, or is it that time yet? Are we going to introduce our
lady? Yeah, of course. I just wanted to mention a couple things here real quick. But you know what? California, I think this is big news. California is raising the smoking age to 21. I wish I was 18, then I wouldn't be able to smoke. And I'm 55, I'm still smoking.
You're
and that's
only as
terrible.
As you feel.
Yeah. So, that's true, right?
It is true.
But you can't feel good forever
unless
on cigarettes.
You smoke and then you're old.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Right.
So I think it's a good thing, actually. You know, I mean, kids are still going to get cigarettes and everything. But, yeah, you know. And you know what the interesting thing is soldiers are exempted from it. You know, in other words, a soldier can kill himself smoking. That's fine. But no, I mean, the thing is this, they realize that soldiers need something, you know.
Right.
You know, you're out there.
Yeah, that's a tough job.
Yeah. So anyway, and they're regulating e-cigarettes and hookahs now, too.
Oh.
Hookah bars and stuff.
That's very popular.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Okay, well, we're going to bring in our guest now who's sitting here patiently and is eager to talk. We have Kenyatta Berry in the studio. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Of course. And so you came to us from, you live here in LA?
Yes, I live in Santa Monica.
Cool. Have you been here all your life or did you move from somewhere else?
No, I grew up in Detroit, actually.
And oh, really?
I've been in Santa Monica for 7 years.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
So what did you do in Detroit?
So before Santa Monica, I actually moved a bunch of places. So I lived in Northern California in Los Gatos. I lived in Cambridge, Massachusetts. I lived in Alexandria, Virginia.
Wow.
And then
so how come you moved so many times?
For work, actually. So
oh, really?
I work for a software company. So I've been in technology for over 17 years almost.
Wow.
You have seen a lot of changes.
Yes.
Yeah. Can you tell what company it is?
Oh, yeah. I work for a company called Cornerstone.
Uh-huh.
And it's Cornerstone On Demand. It's based in Santa Monica. And we do SaaS. Based HR software.
Okay.
So
some high
whatever
tech
that
stuff.
Means, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just software as a service, human resources software. So we're a publicly traded company, and the company's been around about 16 years.
Wow,
and I've been there seven.
Cool. So this is like HR type of software?
Yeah, like
for
training,
human resources. And
human
stuff.
Resources. So training your employees, performance reviews, succession planning, compensation, all those things.
Compensation, okay. Everybody loves that. So you can streamline the process with your software even better, right?
Right.
There's so many complaints from a lot of people about, oh, HR didn't do this or do that. So sounds to me like you make people's lives better through that process.
Yes, we do. We're all about employee engagement. So the more you know about your career path, your training, your development, your compensation, where you can get promoted, what you can do in 5 years, 10 years, or even in 2 years, the more engaged you are and the more you stay with your employer.
Very cool. And what do you do there? What's your
role? I work in the Alliances Group, which I'm part of sales, so I help support our sales teams in North America.
Wow, very cool.
Nice.
So you've been doing this for a while, so that's why you have a good management position at this point, right?
Yes.
Now, did you have background on that before you started?
So I actually went to law school, and I was an internet lawyer, which is how I got into tech. And
wow.
That was dating myself back in 1998, so way before.
1988, before
98.
98, yeah.
Not 88.
She's
no.
not that old.
Because I know.
Old.
No, because I'm saying that 88, there was no internet at the time. Yeah, okay.
98 when it just
was pretty
started,
young.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, when it just got started. So
yeah.
I was working in tech then.
Really?
Uh-huh.
And did you like being in law?
I did. A law is a good degree to have because you're very logical and it gives you discipline and you think in a certain way. So it's a really good degree and people are impressed when you're a lawyer. So when you interview for a job that's not law, they're like, oh, you have a law degree. And I'm like, yes.
But this is very interesting, though. You began studying genealogy while you were in law school.
Yes, that is true.
So how, I mean, she has such a diverse resume, portfolio.
Been doing everything, right?
And she actually was the past president of the Association of Professional Genealogists.
Wow.
Yes. And on the Council of the Corporation for the New England Historic Genealogy Society in Boston. I mean, this is like a mouthful and a half.
It is a mouthful and a half, that one is.
But I think I got through it. It's a good
you did.
Tongue twister.
You did.
Exercise.
did, I started doing law school, or started doing genealogy while I was in law school.
Get a little closer to the mic for me.
Thank you. I started doing genealogy while I was in law school. Mm-hmm. Because a ex-boyfriend of mine at the time, his family, they were very prominent African-Americans in Atlanta. So I started doing research on them, and I was able to find out a bunch of information about his family. And so I thought, this is great. Uh-huh. When I do my family, I'm going to have the same impact. But then, of course, I did my family now. They're all farmers in Virginia and upstate New York, so it was so difficult. But the one good thing that came from that relationship was my love of genealogy.
Wow, very cool.
I have a love of genealogy, too. I want to figure out where my back end came from. Because everyone's like, girl, you're not white. I'm like, well, what is white? And then everyone's like, well, you're Caucasian, right? And then there's this viral video about, you know, how Caucasian is just a word and this and that. And like, maybe we could talk about that today for a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Seen the video going around?
I haven't seen the video, but I mean, if you do your DNA, everyone's mixed with something. We're all mixed with
something. That's true, right? Yeah, because you just go back enough generations and you'll find it.
And you'll find it. I mean, I did my DNA, and you can do an autosomal test, and it'll tell you, you know, how much Sub-Saharan African you are, European, Asian, Native American, and Jewish. And it turns out I'm 44% Ivory Coast Ghana, 17% Southeastern Bantu, 11% Nigerian, 7% British, and 3% Irish.
Wow.
And there are some other trace regions in there that are much smaller percentages, but those are sort of my top five.
So that means there was like a lot of traveling going on. There were people meeting other people right?
Well, you know, when you get an African American genealogy, I don't know if I use the word traveling as much as I would.
Well, no, in Africa, though. No,
in Africa, before in Africa, but a lot of African Americans, a lot of it comes from slavery and interrelations between the slaves.
So they were brought
African.
Together when they were brought here.
It's the mix of the slaves that came here either from West Africa or East Africa, primarily West, but it's also the things that people don't like to talk about, but we knew happened.
Sure.
Were the slave masters having children with the slaves.
Right.
That's how you get the mix. That's how I get my British and Irish.
Right. But you mentioned a few mixes, and that's what I'm saying. If you go back enough, I guess people like meet all over the place, you know?
They do.
And I know,
it needs to be talked about, though. I hate this, well, we have to keep this so quiet because this was a bad part of history, this and that.
No, you got to remember, you know? Don't.
If we don't keep the conversations open.
Absolutely.
And education. Very
important.
It's
like all these things is never forget, you know, because you got to remember or you're doomed to repeat it, you know.
Absolutely.
And so that's very interesting. I mean, I know being Jewish also and stuff, Jews are very mixed, you know, because they're all over the world, you know, so it's just like there's a lot of that. And if you go back, I mean, I'm mixed, you know, my dad's from Europe, my mom's from an Arab country, from Iraq, actually. My mom was born in Iraq. And so I'm mixed, you know. And the funny thing is in Israel, there is like discrimination or like prejudice against different people. I mean, like social layers and stuff. Like, whereas Eastern European or Western European will look at Eastern European Jews as less than they are and things like that, you know, or like at people that come from Arab countries and stuff, you know, from the Orient. So it exists, you know, it exists. But at any rate, going back to this, so how did you get started with the genealogy? Obviously, the internet being there helped you a lot.
Yeah, so when I started, actually, the internet wasn't as prominent for genealogy, so Ancestry.com was just starting. Oh. So I had to write to town clerks, and I had to go to the microfilm to the library and do all that stuff and do kind of old school.
Right.
And that was pretty fun, though, because lawyers like research and writing, and genealogy is all about research. It's about uncovering that puzzle, you know?
Right.
It's finding that mystery. So I really love doing that. And then the internet obviously has made it easier, but still there's some documents that don't exist online.
Right. So some people may not know what genealogy is. Do you want to explain it?
So genealogy is basically the study of your family history, finding your ancestors. And you do that using vital records such as birth, marriage, death, census records, wills, and estates. So genealogy is actually one of the number two hobbies in the country. It's really, really big.
Wow.
And it's typically big for in folks that are retired because they have the time
right.
to do it.
Yeah.
But we're starting to see a lot more young people get involved, especially with the amount of TV shows they have on today.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, when we're older, we want to reflect and we've got that time. But also when we're younger, it's kind of like, okay, where did I come from and what am I doing with my life?
Right.
We have to put these pieces together.
Absolutely.
Find some logic to make sense of our lives.
True. Right. And everybody wants to know where they came from.
And if you're in the midlife crisis part, which I might almost about to be entering, there's also this period of, okay, where did I come from and what am I doing? But it's interesting for a hobby, definitely.
Yeah. I love it. I love it.
So now, so you have to work with DNA and stuff too?
Yeah. So a lot of what I do is a combination of records and DNA. What I found is especially, I think, more with younger folks, and I've seen it with African Americans, they do the DNA test first because it's instant gratification.
Oh, okay.
I get the not instant. I mean, it takes like 6 weeks or 8 weeks, but I get the results back, and it tells me where I'm from and what country. It's
definitely not 20 years later.
Exactly.
Some of these tests are things that people want.
Exactly.
Let me find my birth parents, and 30 years later, they're still searching.
Right, and that's a good point, because here's the thing for those who are looking at adoptees. DNA is excellent for that, because what DNA will do, when you do your DNA test, they actually, the companies actually match you with other people in their databases who have the same DNA.
Wow.
So they'll show you second cousins, third cousins, fourth cousins, they'll come up. So if you're adopted, all of a sudden you have this family you can reach out to and try to figure out your birth parents.
That's true, right?
So you might be the baby's daddy.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to put that on a t-shirt. Not that I'm having kids anytime soon.
Well, Michael Jackson says the kid is not my son, so I don't know.
Genealogy jokes, but I'm bumped. I don't know.
But so let me ask you this. I mean, so people from the same country have similar DNA? Is that what? Because how can you find out what country someone came from based on their DNA?
So each company has a database of people that they've tested around the world, and then they compare your DNA to that database, right? Mm-hmm. So, and then from that, they'll say, well, based on the people we have in our database, the population from Ivory Coast or Ghana or Iberian Peninsula, you match them this percent. And that's simplifying it. I mean, it's much more scientific, but I'm not a scientist. I'm more of just a genealogist using DNA.
Right. Yeah. I understand that. My question, though, is if you go back, I mean, what is it? Like, within the borders, the DNA is the same. It doesn't make sense to me. Like, okay, let's say you're looking at two countries that are next to each other, right?
Right.
You can't say the person crosses the border and the genes change, you know? I
mean, no, you can't. You can't. So then I think the thing is, that's a great point. You know, there's migration, as you talked about, people traveling around. There's migration within, you know, countries within Africa. So it is, if I'm 44% Ivory Coast Ghana, does that mean that, you know, where'd that come from, right? Came from my mother and my father, probably. But the folks that they're testing me against in Ivory Coast and Ghana, have their parents been there all their lives? Have their ancestors been there all their lives? So while DNA, I think, has definitely changed and evolved over the past 5 years, it still needs to evolve even more.
You
know, because that's a valid question. And it's like, you know, yet you cross the border here, you're still the same person you were when you were in the other country. So how is it that now something?
It's a loophole.
It's a loophole.
That's why I can understand with race and everything, people can know, you know, because similar DNAs and everything, but not with countries. So that's very interesting. You know, maybe it is where certain parts of the world people have different genes.
I think it's based on, and again, this would be something that they should have on their websites. I think it's, again, based on the sample of people they had in that country.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So these are the folks we sampled in Ivory Coast. These are the folks we sampled in Ghana. These are the folks we sampled in Ireland.
And these tests haven't been going on for, you know, like 100 years. This technology and all these things are fairly new.
They're fairly new, But it's a big business. I mean, people are buying DNA tests left and right because they're usually under $100. You know, you can swipe your cheek or spit in a tube and boom, there you have
you
it.
You can even get a paternity test at Walgreens now for like $20.
Really? I didn't know that, really.
And I love it that I know that. And I'm like not even,
in
the baby market. But no, I was just going through the aisles the other day and I happened to notice that. And I had a laugh for a minute because I was like, for $20, I can find out if you're the baby's daddy.
If you're the baby daddy.
Wow, there you go. Wow.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Yeah, there's no privacy anymore. Everybody knows everything about you, right?
Yes. Just like the social media conversation we're having earlier.
Right? He's like, well, where are you going tonight? Nope.
Not doing anything at all.
Yeah. So for those of you just joining us, we're talking to Kenyatta Berry. She's a genealogist, and now you're also on a TV show.
Yes, I am.
Tell us a little bit about that.
So I'm one of the co-hosts of Genealogy Roadshow. It started September 2013. That was season one.
Congratulations. Yes. So 3 years already.
Yeah, 3 years. So season three, I've been on since the beginning. And
of course you have. Come on now. I mean, I know what I'm looking at over here. Nobody can see this, but she's gorgeous.
Oh, thank you. And it's been a wild, wild ride. But what Genealogy Roadshow is part like detective, you know, sort of part family history. People submit applications and let's say, I want to know what happened to my third great grandfather who left the family. And then we go out and find out what happened to them. So we really solve family mysteries for people. And we got over 10,000 applications last year.
Wow. Love it.
And wow. Yeah, and we do probably about 30 to 40 people per season.
Wow.
Yeah.
So are we going to find the Colombian milkman who may or may not be responsible for me? Because
we can.
At some point,
we
it's can. The running joke in my family. I'm telling him, like, Mom, you don't have a butt. Dad, you don't have a butt. So you're going to tell me now? Or are we going to wait for a little while longer here?
Yeah, well, we can do that. I mean, you can say I'm going to do DNA and I'm going to be on Genealogy Roadshow. Yeah. So let me know what's going on.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Sarah, stop eating churros because that's where it's coming from. Gains.
Wow. So this is cool. So you guys actually take. So you find people for people. Also?
Yeah, we find people for people. So for example, a couple of my favorite stories. One of my favorite stories from season two was a gentleman who had a photo, and it was a photo of his uncle with this elderly African American. Guy, and you know, he's a white man. He's like, why is this who is this guy? And on the back of it, it said Uncle Fate. He's like, well, who is Uncle Fate? So he submits the story, and we find out who Uncle Fate. We actually find out his life, sort of his parents, and we actually found, I believe it was his great granddaughter, and we had them reunite on the show.
Wow. Oh, cool.
And it was cool because it was just from a photo.
Yeah.
And she looked just like him. I mean, literally, she shows up and you're like, that's definitely your relative.
Yeah.
So it was just really, it was a beautiful moment. But it's those things that we do. You know, what I love about doing the show is that we get to change people's lives. You know, if I had to be on TV to do anything, this was what I would want to do. Because interestingly enough, I didn't move here to be on TV.
Yeah.
I actually didn't even audition to be on the show.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. So it was, you know, sort of one of those things that I guess probably happens in LA, but never happens in LA.
It was in the entertainment history, like a DNA. Then.
Yeah. It was like, it's like crazy because when I was president of the Association of Professional Genealogists, I represented 2,700 genealogists worldwide. So the production company called me and said, hey, we want to hire local genealogists in LA. And said, all right, I'll come meet with you. So I show up all in my New York black, ready to go, do my thing for my people. And there are two people I'm having lunch with. Excuse me, they were from casting. I didn't know that.
Oh,
so they looked at each other and they were like, we want you to do a Skype to audition for the show. And I said, no.
Really?
And then, yeah, I said, no.
Ooh, turn them down.
And then they said, come on, you got to do it. And I was like, I'm in tech. I don't do entertainment. Like, I got all elitist about it, which is really funny.
Wow.
And then so I finally went home and did the Skype. And then it sent it off to PBS. And the next thing you know, they said PBS
loves
you. Yeah, so I'm excited.
You're natural for the show.
You had that flair, though, because a lot of times everyone's so eager and they're just like, I want this. I want this. But we always want what we can't have. So you gave them a little resistance, sort of took your time. Those are the kind of people you want to look out for.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of people that have job security.
Yeah, and it's the passion I have about it. You know, I love it. I love it. And then that comes through on the show.
Yeah.
I think, and then a lot of people, you know, when they're sitting across from me, they get emotional. Yeah. People cry in front of me all the time.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah.
Because families are like a painful thing for many people, right?
Yeah, it could be, and especially if you're submitting to the show and you're trying to figure out something someone hasn't told you.
Right.
An ancestor has passed on, your parents have passed on, you never knew your father, your grandmother never knew her father.
Right.
Like, those are the types of things that come across.
And people want closure because, I mean, if you don't have that, how can you live your entire life just not knowing? It's just such an unsettling feeling.
It is.
So, of course, there's emotion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And today it's a lot easier to find people, you know. But do you have to find, does it have to be someone that's related to me or can you find anybody?
Well,
are you like detectives?
Are you looking for a soulmate?
Yeah.
I know.
I'm actually looking for this 20-year-old I used to date when I was 20.
Oh, okay.
And I still miss her. I'm trying to find her.
Oh, that's called Craigslist misconnection.
Okay, yeah.
Right?
I'm like,
no, but she's probably somewhere else, you know. I don't know. I mean, why
Facebook.
mean, it's like the only person I can't find on social media. And sometimes I go, well, maybe she died or something.
Oh,
you know?
Right.
I mean, it's like 40 years ago. No, not 40 years. 30 years.
30, yeah. I mean, well, you know, we've never had a question like that.
Yeah, so, right?
Have you checked the local jails?
I don't have her DNA either.
Yeah,
it hasn't lasted for 30 years.
I don't know if PBS would want us to be like, oh, let's reunite.
Yeah, exactly.
Sam, if you did have her DNA,
it's a different show.
Yeah. I was going to say, if you did have her DNA after 30 years, that'd be creepy.
Right?
He's like, it's in the basement.
Yeah, like the blue dress.
Somewhere.
For Monica.
Strand of hair.
Very cool. And so where can people watch the show?
So the show airs May 17th on PBS, so check your local listings, but it's on PBS nationally, and it airs at 8 p.m. Pacific time. And okay. So there's about 7 episodes for each season.
Oh, okay. So it starts May 17th.
Yeah, it starts May 17th. Yeah,
and runs for 7 hours.
Is it weekly?
How exciting. Yeah, it's
weekly show?
Every week. Yeah, every Tuesday at 8.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So it's almost there. Did you guys already film it?
We did. We filmed, we filmed in L.A. So we filmed, we went to 6 different cities. So we did L.A., Houston, Miami, Albuquerque, Boston, and Providence.
Oh, nice.
Wow. Yeah.
And what did you find traveling across those cities? Was it very different for the people that you worked with, or...
Yeah,
sort
I mean,
general,
not to give any spoilers, but it's very different. I mean, as you would expect in Boston, because it's East Coast, it's older history. People had a deeper connection there to some of, you know, the beginnings of America, so to speak. And then Albuquerque, again, that more Wild West type of feel.
Right.
You know, I think Houston was a little interesting. It was kind of different because I had never been there. And the history is just, in Texas, is just so different, right,
mm-hmm.
as far as that state goes. And we've done a show in Austin as well. So Houston was kind of interesting. Miami was great. Of course, there was the Cuban connection.
I've never been to Miami.
Yeah. Mm.
But maybe I'm from there.
Yeah,
know.
Exactly.
Check my DNA.
No, you belong on South Beach, no doubt.
Yeah.
Party
I
girl.
No, I wouldn't know.
Yeah. So there's a lot. There's a lot of different stories that we uncover. You know, I think with each season, the format changes. You know, we refine it as with any TV show. It gets better with time. And the more people watch it. You know, I think the one thing you're talking about being a celebrity is when people actually recognize me when I'm in an airport, that shocks me.
Really?
Oh, my God, because it's PBS. I mean, right? Not that I'm saying people don't watch PBS, like, but it's not like Fox. You know what I mean?
I do understand that,
you know
though.
What I mean? Yeah.
Well, at least it's not, hey, I know you from Instagram.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'll get sometimes at the gym, I'm like, no, you don't. Just let's not go there.
Yeah, you're like, no.
I'm on PBS, damn it.
Yeah, exactly. It's random people. And when the show airs, I just remember being from Detroit, I was at home, and this woman... I'm in the tram connecting through Detroit, and she just yells out, I know you. You were on my Comcast last night. And everyone turns around and looks at me.
Wow.
That was, like, so embarrassing for me.
That's a defining moment. Come on. You're like, yep. Okay.
Yeah, because if you're not used to that, and it's sort of like, you know, because I have two different worlds. I have this genealogy entertainment world, and then I have that tech world where I go to work and no one really cares.
Right, exactly. Wow.
They're like, are you closing business or not?
Right? So you battle the very professional buttoned up. Well, I mean, you're buttoned up in both situations, except, of course, one's Hollywood.
Exactly.
Buttoning up for Hollywood is never really buttoning up because everyone knows you.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, you're going to have to deal with a lot more of that. How exciting for you.
Yeah, it is different. It's different, but it's great, though. I love it.
Are you signing autographs already?
I have, yes.
I was going to say, if you're not, let's start here.
Yeah, there you
go.
Yeah,
autographs, selfies, the whole thing. But that's...
Yeah. So the TV show is Genealogy Roadshow. It premieres May 17th on PBS for the third season, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
It says there are 3 genealogists, you and a couple more people.
Yeah.
And so how do you guys have different roles on the show? Or?
So we're all hosts. So there's myself and then Joshua Taylor and Mary Tedesco. And Josh and I started out in season 1. Mary joined last season. Each of us take different stories, right?
Oh, okay.
So we all have different backgrounds. So Josh is more, you know, New England royalty kind of across the board genealogist, right? He's been doing it for about as long as I have, but he's much younger than me. He started very young.
Wow.
And Mary focuses on Italian. So mostly Italian heritage.
Okay.
She has a company related to, it's called Origins Italy, where she goes and she actually goes back to Italy and looks for people's ancestors.
Nice. Wow.
And so my focus is African American, but specifically slave genealogy. Now I can do anyone's genealogy, but that's the area I choose to kind of spend most of my time.
Mm.
So when you think of the show, you know, we all do different stories. I'm not going to get all, you know, the African-American stories. Mary's not going to get every Italian one. Josh is not going to get every
right,
American
so you're,
one.
You're flexible. We're flexible. You're not typecast.
Yes, exactly. We're not typecast. So each of us gets different stories. Good. But there are going to be stories that only I can do.
Right.
Right? And there's a story that only maybe Mary can do. So those do happen. But we do divide it up evenly.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I wanted to get into a little deeper into this and ask you, because you mentioned this, and I'm wondering about this. There was this whole thing with the white masters and their slaves, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now those were all rapes, right? Or were they? I mean, were they like, were there like relationships too?
Some were. I mean, I think a majority of them were probably non-consensual, but there were actually some that were in relationships. And the way you can tell that through the documents, which is very interesting, is if you look at a census record during slavery, let's say 1850 or 1860, it'll list the head of the household, and it'll be one white male. And then you go to the slave schedule, and it'll be one black female and several mixed race children.
Wow.
And so when I first started doing genealogy, that's what I uncovered. My first story was a guy who basically they couldn't get married. Right. And so they had to that was against the law.
Wow.
So it was either, you know.
So they covered it up.
They covered it up. But everyone knew what was going on.
Right.
It's a thing that you never really talked about, but everyone knew what was going on.
Right.
And then there's others where it wasn't consensual and they were on the plantation and they had families, but everyone knew about it. But everyone talked about everyone else's mixed race children, but never talked about their own.
Really?
Seemed to ignore them.
Yeah. Well, it's sort of like maybe a stain on the family or something.
Yeah.
Maybe some people felt that
they
way.
They did feel that way, but it was also the thing of, you know, if you're a woman, I mean, just think you're in a relationship with someone, and at the end of the day, that person's cheating on you.
Yeah.
And you're looking at the product of that, that infidelity.
Right.
And that's terrible. In your face all the time. And a lot of times it depends that sometimes the masters would keep those slaves closer to them. So they wouldn't be in the slave cabin. They'd actually be in the house.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So they would be right there in your face every day, all the time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, what a terrible time.
Yeah, I'm so glad we've evolved from all that.
I know. I can't imagine living back then, you know. And because, I mean, to the decent human being, it doesn't seem right. And that's why there were a lot of whites that opposed slavery as well.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, the thing about it is that not every white person owns slaves, right? That's number one.
Right.
And African Americans actually own slaves. People don't realize that.
Wow.
Yeah, so slavery was really about economics. Slaves were the most valuable property. Right. So, but there was, you know, yes, abolitionists in the North and even in the South that were really against slavery.
Right.
And so while it's something that's very difficult to talk about, but it's also something we need to address.
Yes.
Right. Because it's part of our history. It's part of African American history and American history. And it's the way we uncover our ancestors. Because if your ancestors owned slaves and, you know, or my ancestors owned slaves as African Americans, these are facts.
Yes.
Right.
You know,
just so as much as people are like, oh, I don't want to talk about the Holocaust.
Right, well, exactly.
You need to talk about these things.
Yeah,
so they don't ever happen again.
Yeah, no, you really do. And in fact, yesterday was the Holocaust Remembrance Day all over the world. In Israel, what they do is they sound the siren at 8 o'clock in the morning for about a minute, and everybody just stands. And even cars, like I saw on Facebook, there's like the freeway cameras and stuff, and they showed all the cars slowing down, stopping in the middle of the road, and remembering for a minute the 6 million people that were
taken. How sad that it was just a minute of that, but
yeah. But that's just 1 minute. But then the whole day, you know, in schools they talk about it.
Mm.
It's almost like a day of mourning. You know,
right. Yes.
It's not a happy day,
right?
And then following that day, there's the day of remembrance for all the troops that died, you know, and things like that. So Israel knows how to mourn. I mean, Jews know how to mourn all the time.
That is
because
true.
They always have to go through trials and tribulations, you know. But at any rate, I mean, we're not comparing pain here, because I think human beings have done terrible things over the generations, and we sort of have to come to terms with it, and the best we can do is avoid it in the future, you know?
Right, right. One of our executive producers on our show says he's always surprised at how terrible human beings can be to other human beings.
Right.
I mean, just in general, across the board.
Yeah,
it's always amazing.
It is, you know,
and
I mean...
And where does that come from, though? It comes from fear,
Yeah.
Probably.
From lacking intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think the more we know and the more we learn,
yeah,
we're better off to not hurt people, to be more aware.
I totally agree.
Yeah. No, I mean, people, they do terrible things. I mean, look at ISIS, you know, look at things like this. These things are beyond comprehension.
They're just unfathomable.
Right?
They really are.
And it's disgusting. You go to yourself, how can people do this? You know, I mean, how can you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't see, I can't stand to hurt a fly, you know. How can you, like, you know, cut the head off of a person, like decapitate them?
How serial killers do the things that they actually do.
Right.
Hurting animals, all these things. And this obviously ties into genealogy and all those sorts of things that mental illness.
Yeah, that's because you wonder, when you look at people, you wonder, or if you think about serial killers or someone like that, you wonder, is this something that is
predisposed?
Yeah, thank you. Predisposed for them. And you do look at sometimes some mental health issues of folks. I mean, we don't necessarily get into that on the show. That is definitely something that has come across before, though. People would like to know about that. But the other thing you have to remember is we are on TV.
Yes.
So as much as I want to help you find your family, and it's interesting to you, it has to be interesting to the, you know, million plus people that are watching the show as well.
Absolutely. Right. After it all, it is a business here. We've got ratings to satisfy.
Yeah, it is entertainment. So that's the one thing that we have to, you know, as genealogists, because all three of us are genealogists, we had never been on TV. I think Josh may have had a few guest spots on other shows, but we were really genealogists first.
Right.
So marrying folks that love research, love dates and all that stuff, with entertainment people that are in reality TV, that's been an interesting mix.
Got a bit of a learning curve there, but it sounds like you've got 7 episodes now under your belt already.
Yeah.
So for the next season,
things
might
great.
Get
yeah, it's been great. It's funny because people started out, you know, we've seen people be interested in genealogy because of working on the show. And that, I think, we've accomplished our job there.
Yeah,
because that's fantastic. True. So I think people really understand what we do. And it's just different when, you know, we are so involved in the research. We're not just a talking head.
Yeah.
So we have to know. When I sit down at the table with someone, I know your story. I've done the research along with our other researchers.
Yeah. True. For those of you just joining us, the first question is, why are you just joining us? We're almost done.
Yeah, why?
Right.
What took you so long?
But
were you posting on Instagram? Not at all.
I'm joined by Sarah Chapman as a co-host today, and we're talking to Kenyatta Berry about Genealogy Roadshow, which premieres for the first season, for the third season on PBS on May 17th. I don't watch much PBS, but now I have a reason to.
Yes.
It sounds like an entertaining show, you know, and they need more shows like that, right?
Yes.
I mean,
yeah.
They need to shed off that reputation of, like, it's only, like, educational and boring stuff.
Yeah, no, it's a very entertaining show. I mean, you have everything. You have laughter, you have tears, you have stories you can't believe, you have reactions, because these are everyday people. What I love about the show is I don't meet them until I sit down and at the table with them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we have no idea. They have no idea what I'm going to say.
That's good. That's
so then
exactly
it's just,
how
it's like.
It's raw.
It's raw
and
reaction.
Organic and unfiltered.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really cool. I like it. I like it a lot.
Now, I think another good use for it is, like, when you have health issues and stuff, right? You can go back in your family and find out maybe where it came from and things like that.
Yeah, definitely. When you're doing research, if you find a death certificate for a family member or multiple family members, and a lot of these are online right now, when you look at the cause of death, I mean, that's super important. And I've done stories where every death certificate said heart disease. Like,
wow.
I'm talking multiple, like 6 or 7. So it's like, okay, I need to make sure I take care of myself. I'm maybe predisposed to this. And that's information you can share with someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's true. You know, I mean, I know that we've had mental issues in the family and stuff. You know, I've come out and said I've got bipolar disorder, but it's been like in remission for like years because I take medication and stuff. But when I started researching this, I found out that every generation before me, there was some kind of an example of that, you know? And then I had a couple suicides in the family, a couple of crazy people, you know.
And, there's crazy in your family,
yeah, you know. When you're not being diagnosed, that's what happens, you know.
Right.
So you need to understand your roots, I think. It's really important.
Yeah, it's very important to understand your roots, not only for health reasons, but also just because you get a deeper sense of self.
Right.
Whatever you're going through today that you may think is so raw and it's hard for you and everything else, look at those that came before you and what they did, and what they went through so that you could sit here today. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing. That's the most empowering thing, because knowing your ancestors makes you know who you are. Right. And gives you strength, I think.
That's true. Yeah. Now, my question is this. When somebody... Go ahead, because I forget.
Okay. Well, I was going to, I don't know, say something about, you know, how we just treat symptoms, like in healthcare and things. Mm-hmm. This sounds to me almost like you want to find the main cause of everything. Yes. Instead of just treating a symptom, you got to find where it came from.
Right. Yeah.
And yeah, then you can diagnose it properly.
Yes. Exactly.
Look at these doctor analogies, Sarah. Where's my lab coat?
That is exactly right, which is why when you go to the doctor, they ask you about your family health history, because it's so important.
And
for you
so many people don't know.
Don't know. Have no idea.
Surprisingly enough. Right. Yeah, you have no idea. Be shocked.
Have you seen people that decided not to have kids after they found out about their past, like maybe health issues and things like that?
I haven't encountered that personally, but I think that probably would be a consideration for some folks.
Yeah.
You know, I do know a woman who went through some problems, and then she got tested, you know, had genetic testing, and then realized that this was a genetic thing, and she passed it on to her brother to show him, and he didn't even want to look at it. And he already had kids.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's one of those things where when you find this information out sometimes, and especially you have siblings, it's like, what are you going to do with that information?
Right.
Yeah. How are you going to manage it?
Right.
That's a tough one, because in my family, there's some OCD and different forms of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you never know what you're going to pass on or if you're going to pass it on. And there's no way, as far as I know, to know if I'm going to pass on whatever I've got going on.
Right.
To a daughter or son. Right?
Well, I do know that there is a company, 23andMe, that does a lot of genetic testing. And they have done, but it's more, I think, the testing that they were doing was, what are you predisposed to?
Yes.
Because of maybe your ancestors, right? So, but that's one of the kind of commercial DNA companies that does that. Most of the other DNA companies, like Ancestry.com or FamilyTree DNA, they focus primarily just on your ancestors and where you came from.
I see.
Yeah, not a lot of health stuff going on there.
Okay. Very cool. Kenyatta Berry, where can people find you, find out more information about you?
Sure. You can check out my website, KenyattaBerry.com, or hit me up on Twitter at KenyattaDB. And I'll spell Kenyatta Berry for you guys. It's KenyattaBerry.com. And as I said, my Twitter handle is KenyattaDB. And then if you'd like, on Instagram, although I haven't posted a lot, I'm Kenyatta. So KenyattaBerry.
Cool. And if you go to the website, you probably can have, there's a link to Twitter and everything else, so you guys can find out there.
You can stalk her on multiple links.
I see there's also a little preview here of the Genealogy Roadshow.
Yes.
So on your website and stuff, so you guys can get an idea of what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to watch it. I mean, it sounds pretty interesting, you know, now that we know you and everything.
I'm going to submit to the show.
Please do.
I'm serious.
Yeah, right?
Please do. Yeah, if you want to submit. You can actually go to Genealogy Roadshow, oneword.org.
Okay.
So genealogyroadshow.org. And genealogy, for those who don't know, because it's often misspelled, is spelled GenealogyRoadshow, Roadshow, like Antiques Roadshow, .org. And click on the casting application, and there you can submit all your information.
Yeah. I would probably misspell genealogy, and I'm
a
perfect speller.
I had to look
speller.
It up today, not going to lie.
I'm a perfect speller, but I wouldn't have put the A there. I would have put O, right? Like genealogy.
Yeah.
I would probably put an O there.
Yeah.
Wow. Very interesting. Kenyatta, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. It's
fascinating
been
person and very interesting. Everybody check out the show, her website. You can find out a lot more about this. And, of course, if you need software service, you can go to Cornerstone.
There you go.
Look
yes,
for
exactly.
her and everything. Exactly. We didn't even get a chance to talk about that. But it seems like the latest thing right now is not to buy the software,
yes,
but to lease it
to
monthly,
lease it. And
right?
That's exactly what we do. You can lease the software from us monthly.
Right, and that makes it a lot more affordable for the customer,
yes.
And the company can make more money on this because you're committed and things like that. I know, it works very well.
It does.
I use several of those, you know.
Oh, okay.
In fact, like right now they have... Like Office 360
oh, yeah,
and things like that. You can you don't have to buy the whole program.
right.
You know, Photoshop too. But Photoshop's like $20 a month
it's
to use,
ridiculous.
You know. Yeah, it's ridiculous. But I already have it, so I don't care. Kenyatta Berry, thank you again. All the best to you. Success to you. And you're welcome back anytime.
Oh, thank you so much.
Awesome. Yay. Sarah, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Sam.
You're a lot of fun. Where can people find you?
People can stalk me at Sarah Beth Harris on Instagram or Sarah Chapman. If you just Google her, you'll find me in a slew of other Sarah Chapmans.
Exactly. So whether it's Harris or Chapman or Sarah or Beth, you'll find her
somewhere.
You'll
find me somewhere.
Somewhere out there, you'll find her.
Somewhere over the rainbow.
Thank you for joining me, Sarah.
Thanks, Sam.
Always a pleasure. And thanks, everybody, for listening. And we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.